What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford. I'm your host, and I have two questions today that listeners have written in. I'll spend a segment per question. The first is about one-on-one relationships between a male and a female, or a female and a male. What's it like to have relationships of the opposite sex? And then the second question that I'll touch on in our next segment is that of healing after breakups. I probably should have rearranged these because the breakup one is always very heavy. You know, who likes talking about breakups? So I'm sorry, I'll be kind of a downer today, and I'll end on the breakups question. But here's the first question. A listener wrote in and said, I was confused between what the transition from acquaintance to friends would look like and how to have boundaries or things to be careful of when transitioning to friends. You know, I'll hear this question. The world I live in, I mean, 9 months out of the year, the world I live in is the 18 to 22, 23-year-old. It's where you have young people that are friends, but they're kind of interested in each other, and then they're also wanting to date. But, you know, like this weird amalgamation of clarifying roles and what relationship are we? Is it wise, just to put it bluntly, is it wise to have friends of the opposite sex? And if so, at what season or all seasons? Like that's really what we have to ask. So let me start by putting a couple of things in place, which is if you've never listened to my episodes on role clarity, you got to go back and learn there are different types of friendships. There's the stranger, there's the acquaintance, there's the friend and the best friend. Remember those? So my longtime listeners, you're like, yes, I remember those, or I listened to that multiple times. So you gotta lock that down. Do I have strangers who are of the opposite sex? Like, that should be common sense. It's like, of course. I'm going to go to the grocery store later, and there will inevitably be a stranger who's a lady that's there, of course. Do I have acquaintances in my life? I don't talk to them on the phone. We don't hang out privately. We see each other at church or work. Do I have acquaintances that are ladies? Yes, I do. Do I have friends who are ladies? Now, that's a tricky one to answer because I feel like a little bit like a Jordan Peterson. It's like, there's a problem with the question. The question has to be clarified. Do I hang out with ladies that are not my wife? No, I do not. There's no private texting going on before the Lord and you all as my witnesses. I don't direct message ladies on Instagram and just joke around about things. Like, it doesn't happen. I've always felt that that clear, fine line is an important one to maintain in relationships. I never want to communicate that to a lady. But I'm married. I'm not single. As a single man talking to a lady who is single, what is that? Can that happen? So starting with marriage, I would say, of course, in marriage, it's almost a little bit easier because you can say, yeah, I'm married and I shouldn't be talking to ladies in a private way. And I really don't have ladies who are friends. And any of my friends, quote unquote, friends who are listening to this, ladies, it's like, I'm not saying that we're not friends. I'm just saying we're never going to hang out privately. We're never going to text privately. We're never just going to joke about things privately. I'm never going to call you privately without my wife being there or your husband being there. Like that's what we're saying. But when you're not married and you're just dating or you're single, it's a little bit different. Here's what we do know is you are unable, you don't want to abandon your friends for every possible dating relationship. And that includes friends of the opposite sex. So if you're a lady and you just started dating another guy, you have all these single dude friends. You've been dating him 2 weeks. The last thing you would want to do is be like, hey, I'm never going to talk to all my male friends. Why? Because I'm dating this guy. We've been dating for 2 weeks. No, you wouldn't want to do that. But you also recognize that that relationship with your guys who are friends, it's going to change if you stay in this relationship, this dating relationship. So I would never want to abandon my friend group for every potential relationship. But obviously, as the relationship grows and we've dated a longer time, I'm going to renegotiate some of them. I would expect that friends of the opposite sex can't be best friends. My best of friends in the world can't be a friend of the opposite sex. I'm not sure there's a scenario in which that's wise, even if you're single, especially if you're dating, and definitely if you're married. So when you're single, it's like, yeah, you have casual friends, but not best friends. My best friends are guys, and or if I'm a lady, my best friends are ladies because those are the ones I can confide in. They can identify closely. There's no weirdnesses, and I'm not communicating weird things. So if you wonder why people ask if you're interested in your friend of the opposite sex, it's because you guys are in between friend or best friend, or maybe you see yourself as best friends. And I would say you got to figure that out. You really have to figure that out. In a single dating environment, the first thing that I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to identify role clarity. Role clarity is simply this idea that you need to figure out how this person relates to you according to the Bible. 1 Timothy 5 is my favorite passage on this because it talks about older men as fathers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, younger men as brothers. You treat them according to that relationship. And I'm doing my best if I'm chit-chatting with a lady who is a peer to treat her like a sister, and I'm clear on how we relate to each other. She's my sister in the body of Christ, or I'm her brother. I treat him according to that. How do I do that? How does that express itself in communication? It does. In clear communication, Ephesians 4, 15, 25, 29, you're a godly communicator, and you work on communicating this idea that we are friends. We're trying not to miscommunicate the nature of our relationship. So I think in a really godly friendship between a male and a female, there are limits to that friendship, things that you're willing to do simply because of the nature of your relationship. So for instance, you're willing to say, hey, we should probably invite someone else to come along with us. That way people don't get the wrong idea. And people in Southern California, this is just what we do. We just go to the beach. That's our thing. We enjoy the beach. It's a reprieve from the hot weather. Where you're listening to right now, you may not have something like that, but it's a 45-minute, maybe an hour drive out to the beach. And if you're talking to someone of the opposite sex and you say, hey, you know what? It's just the two of us. We should probably invite a third person to not make it weird. That is good communication. That's what good communication looks like. Or you know what? Maybe we shouldn't go to that thing, just the two of us, because it's going to make it look like we're on a date and we should avoid all of that together. What are you doing? You are being a godly communicator. The reason why it gets so confusing in friendships of the opposite sex is because some people are really bad communicators and they're really telling you things that should only be confided in a boyfriend or girlfriend. And you're thinking like, do you have a crush on me? I thought we were just friends. Like, why are you calling me and crying at 11 p.m. at night? Like, what's going on here? So good communication helps you define roles, and defining roles leads to good communication. I think if you can't communicate well as a single / newly dating individual, if you can't communicate well, then maybe you shouldn't have friends of the opposite sex. If everyone that you befriend thinks that you're romantically interested in them, then you just know, yes, I don't communicate clearly. That's the reality. So communication, role clarity. Now, what about those who are married? If I didn't say it already, you don't have friends of the opposite sex. You only have acquaintances. I think that's just the line that you walk. And even if you're talking to a spouse of a friend, just get in the habit of including them in the messages or the phone calls. If it's work-related, I get it. So that means all of the things that you talk about privately, if it's a text or a phone call or an email, it's all work-related. We have no personal conversations. We're not dabbling in that. So if you just maintain that, what are you doing? That's good communication. Guys, let's just get on board with that. We want to be faithful and humble. We want to know our blind spots, and we don't want to miscommunicate our interests either. So we are not maintaining any friendships. We have acquaintances. And if we have people at work that we need to email privately or talk to privately, it's all work and it's no personal stuff. That's how I would encourage you to land on it. So if you're confused, back to the question, what the transition from acquaintances to friends looks like and how to set up boundaries, then use godly communication to say, hey, look, I don't know if this would be wise for us to just hang out, the two of us. Let's see if so-and-so's free. Like, find your own way of doing that to make sure that you clarify we are just friends and we are not dating in any way. That would be my first encouragement. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I am going to answer the question, what happens? How do we heal after being broken up with? So we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. But I gotta say, man, this episode, it's gonna hit a nerve. And I don't think it's gonna hit a nerve in a bad way. I think it's gonna hit a nerve in a good way, because this topic, opposite sex friendships in the church, is not something that is talked about near enough. Not like this. The categories that he's using, the clarity that he's using, man, this is something that we desperately need to hear more of. Because usually, I mean, think about it. When we talk about this, it's typically met with, hey man, just use some wisdom. And that's it. Look, wisdom's good, but I think there needs to be more than, hey, here's the line, don't cross it. And that's what Greg is doing this week with this. That's the shift he's making. I'm not trying to sound mystical and dramatic, but this might be the kind of clarity that keeps someone from wrecking their life or wrecking someone else's. That's exactly what Dr. Gifford does, not just with this podcast, but every single day, whether he's writing his next bestseller or he's doing it in the classroom where he trains the next generation of biblical counselors, which is exactly what he does at the Masters University. If you ever thought, man, I want to help people just like Dr. Gifford, I want to help them be able to walk in this mess and understand things clearly, TMU should probably be on your radar, especially their biblical counseling program. It's not pop psychology. It's not encouragement. It's theological. It's practical. And it's rooted in the sufficiency of Scripture. You can learn more right now at masters.edu/transformed. And hey, while we're here, I want to say too, if Transformed has helped you think more clearly, especially like Greg is doing today, we would love it if you would consider partnering with us. We've been at this for over 25 years, and we're not slowing down. What started as Wretched Radio, then Gospel Partners Media, and now as Fortis Institute, we're going to keep on continuing to make content just like this because of Gospel Partners like you, people who give not to feel good or to get something back, but because they believe the content that we're producing actually matters. And if that's you, and if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, because that comes first, head over to FortisInstitute.org right now and see what it would look like to lock arms with us. While you're there, don't forget to download Fortis Plus. That's our app where you can get all of the free content that we produce, packed with hundreds of hours of biblical content. And we're adding to that every single day. Again, totally free. No paywalls or tricks or anything like that. You can find out all of the details right now at FortisInstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford now. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking through your questions written in to greg@transformed.org. If you have more questions, I would love to hear them. Again, it's helpful if you make it concise. Multiple paragraphs, it's hard for me to comb through and get all of the data. But if you write in and say, hey, Dr. Gifford, what do you think about this? Or, hey, I have a question on this topic or this particular issue, please do. I read those. I'll either respond back via email or turn it into an episode like today's. But a listener wrote in and said, can you share some biblical principles on healing after breakups? And you know, let me share some personal testimonials. You may think like, oh, you know, like Gifford, you have no idea. I don't know a lot. My wife and I have been together since we were babies, basically. My wife and I started dating when I was 14 years old and she was 15. So that was our ninth grade year of high school. But that meant in high school, it wasn't like we were just these perfectly mature individuals and dated consistently. We had the high school on again, off again. And I think much of our sophomore year was me being sinful and foolish and her breaking up with me and then me trying to grow as a man and honor Christ and her reluctantly taking me back. You know, there's the breakups that we had, it honestly, like, it was part of the high school drama. I haven't dated someone for 2 years and have them dump me and never get back together. And I don't mean that flippantly. I mean, like, that must be such a painful experience because breakups, for some of us, it's not like, hey, we dated for 2 months and it didn't work out, so later. We feel like we wasted time. We invested in you. We were vulnerable with you. And now you have, you've not only taken those 2 years, but I've been exposed to you and you've taken that and you've moved on and left me here. When you've been broken up with, number one, I think there is a genuine, authentic, and right sense of loss and sadness. And we're not talking about you guys dated 2 weeks. Okay, like some of that, you just, it's like, oh, get over that. Okay. But in all reality, you've been dating a year, year and a half, and then you lose that person. It's like, I am experiencing loss and sadness and grief, the consequences of sin in this world and relationships that are damaged by them. A spouse is spoken of in different ways, Proverbs 5, when warned against the adulterous woman, or Malachi 2, your spouse is spoken of as being a companion. So when you've been dating for a while and you lose that person you're dating, you've lost a companion. And I don't mean that in a weird way. No, you're not married, but yet you've lost a friend. And the loss of that companionship, it stings. And I think you can say, like, this is not good. This is an effect of sin and the fall. Companionship and loss is still loss. And even if we know we should have broken up, and I know that I understand their motivations were godly, I'm still missing something here. My schedule feels eerily quiet. My house is quiet. I don't have as much to do. I've lost a friend group that went with that relationship. And there's other aspects when you've been broken up with where you need to work through the relationship and grow in wisdom. So let me give you a principle that comes from Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9, I hate it and I try to love it, but I generally hate it. It says, do not reprove a scoffer lest he hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. If you reprove a wise man, he increases in wisdom. But if you reprove a scoffer, they hate you. If you're broken up with, don't be a scoffer in that moment and just counterattack and make it all about how psycho that person is. This is your fault. This is entirely your fault. I think if you're being broken up with, receive that and try to filter through what may be true and grow in wisdom, grow in Christ-likeness. Don't duplicate the problems of that relationship. If you have regrets and you have actual factual instances where you communicated poorly or your anger got out of control or your conflict resolution was awful or you mistreated people, then in that breakup, don't be a scoffer and harden your heart and close your ears. Rather, grow in wisdom. Proverbs 9. Love that and welcome that. Instead of saying, like, how dare you? You're the psycho. Say, thank you for bringing that up. And you're right. I do need to grow in that. And I want to do that now. Renew your mind with the truth of the scripture. In all of the days that follow and the loss and the pain and the free schedule and the awkward friend groups, you have to learn to put off thoughts that are not honoring to the Lord and to put on thoughts that are honoring to the Lord. And I would take your thoughts to Philippians 4:8 and say, is this true, lovely, just, pure? And if it is those things, then I'm going to think on it. But if it's not, I need to put off that thought and I need to renew my mind with thoughts that are honorable, just, pure, lovely, and so forth. I cannot sit around and wallow in unhelpful, unbiblical thinking. I can't. So grow in wisdom. Proverbs 9. Renew your mind with the truth of Scripture, Philippians 4:8. And trust in the wise providence of God. You know, this is not a trite, I'm not meaning it in a very like condescending way, but God is sovereign over human hearts. He turns the heart of a king wherever he wants it to go, Proverbs 21. So we know that God is at work in this moment. And if you've been broken up with, you have to trace that back to the providence of God and his sovereignty, that he is ruling over everything, his sovereignty. And his providence is that he's actively ordaining everything, every molecule to accomplish his purposes. Do you trust in God's plan for this season of your life? Would you have done it differently? Yeah, totally, maybe, for sure. But do you trust God has a better plan and God is wise and good and going to make the right decision? I would give you those three principles. If you're trying to heal and you're trying to recover, renew your mind, grow in wisdom, and trust God's plan. If there's opportunities for you to grow in relationships, then do that. If you need to deepen your trust in God's sovereignty and providence, then do that. And as God heals you, not in a weird way or some psychological way, but as God brings about strength to you, then you'll get back out there and you'll have another desire to date again. And when you meet that right person again, the Lord does shape your desires. But what are you doing in the meantime? What are you doing in the triage moment? Renewing your mind, growing in wisdom, trusting God's plan. What if you're the one that's breaking up with others? I mean, I would imagine the pain is still there, but it's probably not as severe as being broken up with. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. I would at least say treat them according to their new role, which is an acquaintance. And if you're breaking up with someone, the let's just be friends thing, that's a way of saying let's just be acquaintances, but we're not just going to hang out anymore. We're not texting each other like we once did. I'm not calling you. I'm not hanging out with your family. Like, that's just weird. What role are we now? We are an acquaintance. And as the Lord crosses our paths, we will do good. Galatians 6:10. We will. We will be friendly, but we're not going to be friends. Don't try to be friends. In fact, that's weird, misleading, not necessary. Guys, if you're breaking up with a girl, just leave it. Like, leave her alone. Don't keep texting her. Don't check in tomorrow and ask how she's doing. Just leave it alone. The Lord can raise up other women in her life to care for her. You be gracious and godly, and you treat her according to that new role. And ladies, same for guys. Don't be texting us and asking how we're doing. We're sad. Like, you broke up with us. How do you think we're doing? We dated you 2 years. Like, how do you think we're doing right now? Just be friendly as the Lord crosses your paths, but don't confuse that with a lack of role clarity. Pray that the Lord would bring others. Encourage other friends to come alongside of us, but don't feel that need to like shepherd us through you breaking up with us. So don't try to be friends. That's unkind. It's not necessary. In fact, I think it makes it worse. Okay, so what else to consider? If you're the one that has to break up with another, let me leave you with this final thought. Never gossip or slander that brother or sister in Christ. Even if representing the truth is indeed true, like they yell, they have anger issues, they have parent problems, what I would encourage you is that you never are sharing the truth in a way that would hurt the testimony of another person as best as you can. That's how you're not gossiping and slandering. So I'm not going to tell all my friends that you yelled at me, and that's really the crux of the issue. I'm not going to tell all my friends that you're like oddly dependent on your mom. I'm just going to say something like, hey, it was time for us to move on. I didn't want to continue in the relationship, and that's it. If you're gossiping at that time of breakup, then that says more about your character than it does about the one that you're breaking up with, in all honesty. That is those that are sinful, and they're mean-spirited in their words, and not only are they breaking up with a person, but now they're perpetuating this image and contributing to a discomfort and a dislike of the individual they broke up with. So zoom out of all that and just say, no, I don't need to share the details with everybody. They can just know it's over with. And maybe my personal friends, I will do my best to tell objectively what happened. But gossip and slander are sinful all the time, no matter when. In the end, you will still be brothers and sisters in Christ. So break up in a way that would honor them. Break up in a way that would honor them. Okay, we got to be done for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for bearing with some of my stuffiness today as well. Let me pray for us as we close. Lord, we are so thankful that we get to have relationships in our life, and yet sometimes they do end. We have to redefine them. Just help us to be people that are consistently loving you and doing good so that when a relationship may end, that we can have total confidence that we honored you and we were respectful and gracious in that process, Lord. We ask for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.